What's up, everybody? This is Plex of PlexHop.com, also known as Marshall Couture, and you are listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. It's been a little while. I wanted to get some thoughts out there and just, kind of get back on the horse, on the saddle, whatever you call it, for the old podcast. I think one reason why I haven't done it so much lately is, I haven't had a lot of chance to listen to podcasts very much lately, and usually that's what inspires me to podcast. Whatever, you know, I'm usually directly inspired by stuff to do other stuff, and that's kind of a undisciplined, immature approach, I guess. So hopefully I can be a little more disciplined and more mature about the things I do, creatively in the future. But yeah, that's kind of how it is, at the moment. It's not that I wait for the muse or whatever, like, I guess people talk about waiting for the muse and getting, like, inspiration, and that's the only way they can work, but when the inspiration, to me, the inspiration comes a lot, but it's from all different angles, and I get distracted from things I was previously doing and go into the next newest, shiniest thing that I've been inspired to do. I got a lot into YouTube videos, less into podcasting for a little while. Now I'm kind of been in a funk the last couple days, and it's a result, I think, of being distracted by a lot of things and not having a clear focus, or at least I shouldn't say not having, but not implementing a clear focus. Because I did have, goals and stuff for this year. And we're looking at right now, today is actually the last day of February. And, I'm not done with one of my goals. I said I wanted to do 6 projects in the year, one for every 2 months. And, the first one I was going to do was the Match Made in Human album. I got a lot of work done on it, that's for sure. But as far as I'm like in the recording stage, and the recording stage is maybe more than halfway done. It's hard to really tell. There's a lot of stuff that's not 100% finished. But then after that, there's mixing, mastering, album artwork, a lot of stuff like that. So needless to say, the album's not going to be out within the kind of loose deadline that I had originally intended, which it is what it is, it's fine. In fact, I may even push this specific project back a few, forward into the year or whatever, have that be finished later, because I don't want to just rush it to the, like, I do want to rush it to the point where it gets done, but I don't want to rush it to the point where it's lacking quality because I'm, strictly going against the clock. So that's fine. I'm still on track as far as I want to still do 6 projects this year. Like, when I say projects, I mean, like, decent-sized projects. I don't mean, like, I'll have a lot of little things here and there, but, stuff that's substantial, stuff that, has a little more lasting life than, I put an image out there and a few people see it and maybe has a few days, worth of lasting life. An album, is a big part of a career, if you're super amazing, lucky, you might have like 12 albums your whole life. I knew somebody, one person did 12 albums in a year, which is crazy. This dude, LMNO, he's really dope. But he, before that and after that, since then, I think he's always put out like one or two projects a year. So for him, that was just a challenge, you know, but that's absolutely like on the extreme side of production. And all his productions end up being really good, and he doesn't make all the beats and stuff, as far as I know. He just does the lyrics and stuff, so when you got other people handling all the other stuff, he doesn't do the artwork, he just does the rhymes. Yeah, if that's all I did, I could probably bust out a lot more projects, you know, musically. But, you know, it's not the case. That's alright, because I enjoy all those other aspects. I like to do the artwork, I like to do beats and stuff, and collaborations with people in different ways. Still working on a lot of projects here and there, but two major distractions this year, and it's like, you know, I kind of look back on it and I'm like, it's absolutely ridiculous, but at the same time, I've gained and learned from it, you know. One of them was the graffiti stickers. And I still got a lot left to do to catch up on that. And, but I think it's helped my art, to tell you the truth, you know. Drawing quicker, doing more, being less precious. And also the community thing that I've talked about in previous episodes. I know it might sound a little down. It's just because I've been in a funk and I'm a little tired today, but I'm not really down. I'm, you know, keeping it positive. I always try to keep it positive anyways, so no matter how bad things get. And the other distraction, I guess, was, I guess the new distraction is the chiptunes 8-bit stuff. I started a group on Facebook. You know, it's not taking a lot of time or anything, but, you know, I did the beat or whatever for Ryan Wheaton for his video game that he's working on for his astronaut's character. And a lot of people probably heard that stuff, so, and a lot of people said some really cool things, like, it seems like people really dig what I did, you know, the beat I made, so that's really cool. It was super fun, and you know, it created this new distraction, you know. It's like, as if I didn't already have enough music projects going on, now I'm gonna get into this stuff. But the thing is sometimes circumstances come about that kind of dictate that, and I'm also thinking in my mind, I'm like, you know, it's not like I have really huge commitments with anybody. There's some things I have with people, but, you know, some of it's more like collaborations. It's not like I have like an illustration thing I got going on that somebody's paying me tons of money for or something. You know, no, I'm not getting paid for any of this stuff because it's all my own projects pretty much. And, you know, if somebody hires me, I mean, yeah, I'll be like gung ho on that, and I'll use, if they're giving me money, you'll see me get focused real quick. But, you know, that doesn't happen very often, so. And it's because I haven't pushed it. And that, I guess, kind of brings me to sort of the main topic I wanted to talk about. Oh, and also other distractions, too. I mean, there's a lot, you know. There's all these, like, little mini, like, comic projects. And I don't know. So, like, we got the mini comics Into Darkness thing, which still haven't even come close to starting. And there's the one that Farrell Boulding started where you do like one panel or whatever, and currently I still haven't done my piece and I think I'm 2 days late on that. I kind of already pretty much know what I'm going to do. I did a sketch and all that, and all I got to do is really just do a finished drawing and ink work and on it, and you know, it's not like a big project. If I can just get a chance to sit down and do it, it'll take me maybe an hour or something. but maybe not even that, maybe a half hour. But yeah, so I do want to get that done. I don't want to fall through when it's like such an easy thing to do. So yeah, there's that. Plus, I want to be involved with something that all these cool artists are involved in. I like a lot of the stuff that the panels that have already been put up. You know, it's really cool. I'm trying to think of all the people. Michael Waro, my buddy there. Courtney Hahn, Ryan Wheaton, Peter Palmiotti. Pharaoh did the first one. I'm probably missing one or two people here. But, yeah, they all look really awesome. Oh, of course, Nathan Seabolt. That might have been the last one. I don't know if Michael Vlad did one or if he's been involved in this. I can't remember. But, yeah, it's a cool thing. And hopefully it'll expand the roster a little bit and we'll continue with this because it's a fun little thing. So, yeah. Had a lot of cool things. I guess a couple updates. There was a podcast that I did with Peter Palmiotti last week. Not sure if it's been uploaded. Like I said, I haven't been listening to podcasts for a good couple, 2 or 3 weeks. I just haven't. The times when I listen to podcasts are when I'm driving and stuff, and I haven't had a lot of time driving this week, so. Or the last 3 weeks, I should say. Sometimes I have tons of time, you know, but it is what it is. Also, I had friends who came over and were staying over. Or like I had my buddy Kodak, Charles Mays. He's a good friend of mine, one of the main people I work with music. And he also has a bunch of other talents with computers, like he's good with computers, and, you know, he's a turntable instrumentalist. he's really good at scratching, and he's also an MC and a beat maker. And so he was over for like 10 days in my area. He lives in Atlanta, and I live in Connecticut, and last time I saw him was like 5-6 years ago. So, you know, somebody just, you know, randomly comes like that, you gotta take time out to hang out with that person. You don't have the opportunity often. So, you know, I tried to take advantage of him being here and hanging out, and it was really awesome to see him. And we worked on some music together, and it was really cool. Like, we were just hanging out, talking, and I was telling him how I wanted to get the Reason Essentials program, which is a program I used to make music and make beats, and I've used it a lot before, a long time ago, but I didn't have any kind of updated version for the new computer, so I haven't had it for a long time. I've been, you know, scraping by on a kind of messed up version of Pro Tools, and you know, he, like, out of the blue, without me even knowing, he like bought it for me and came in the mail. I uploaded it onto my computer, and I'm so amped. Like, it's the smaller version, and, you know, I definitely want to upgrade at some point, but it's like, well, that takes about $100 out of the purchase when I do finally get the money to upgrade. So that's cool. Definitely do want to upgrade because there's a lot more to this program, but what I have right now is a lot, you know, gives me the ability to do a lot more with beats than I was able to do with just Pro Tools. So, you know, I'm really extremely happy about that. And that's how I made the chiptunes thing. You know, I wouldn't have been able to really, well, I would have been able to do something in Pro Tools, but like I said, Pro Tools, it can be good for that if I had the newer version, but the old version doesn't have a lot of the stuff that even the version after it has, and I'm like 3 or 4 versions behind, so, you know, it's just trying to do chiptune stuff would have been really tough on that. So I would have had to try to do it on Milky Tracker or whatever, which is a really weird program that's even maybe even tougher. So anyways, that was one of the distractions recently, you know. And my buddy Will was here too, and you know, we just hang out and stuff, but I sometimes you need that time, you know, that R&R to just chill out, hang out with a good buddy, you know. So we're doing that. And we're doing a music project together too, so that's cool. So yeah, a lot of distractions, and I've just been kind of going with the tides of the distractions, because I guess I realized maybe about a week or so ago that, you know, my album wasn't going to get finished in time, so, you know, we're shifting things around a little bit, which is, like I said, that's fine, you know, we'll figure it out. One thing that I have been thinking about a lot, though, lately is, when I set out to think about, like, what I wanted to do for the new year, what my goals were going to be, you know, leave it to someone like me, you know, an artist or whatever, a musician or somebody who is more focused on creative things than anything, you know, to kind of forget about the obvious thing is, like, you know, I want to make money with this stuff, and obviously that's not my main goal. If it was, I would be thinking more about it, but at the same time, I am the type of person who I want to make a business out of this. You know, I don't want it. I mean, I do want to do a lot of stuff even that isn't necessarily for business, just for fun. But at the same time, I want something. I want to make a living doing something that is related to art and music, or both or something. So, you know, going into 2013, none of my goals were like business goals. They were all creative goals, like 100% creative. Like, okay, I want to do like 3 albums this year, and I want to make this comic book and do this animation. But none of those things will produce any profit. Definitely not enough to make a living off of, unless, you know, you never know when something might just hit in a way where, like, everything blows up and it's awesome. But, you know, that's like winning the lottery. So, you know, I mean, music and comic books, I don't think, not by themselves and not in your traditional format, you know, minus doing shows, a ton of shows, and minus being on like some kind of major label or you know, distributor or whatever. Without all that stuff, you know, this stuff is probably not a good business plan thing. You know, it's good to do those things, and it helps your, you know, it could help your business and all that, but you know, I've kind of, I know that in the past how the numbers have looked, and usually I spend more money than I make, you know, on all this stuff. So, but I still love doing it, and I'll still continue doing it. So, yeah, wasn't really a great financial or business plan going into 2013. So, you know, I think I'm going to re-evaluate what my 6 goals are. Luckily it's only 2 months into the year. I mean, it doesn't really matter. You know, I don't know. It doesn't really matter what the goals are or if it changes or whatnot, but I'm gonna reevaluate stuff, so yeah. I think I kind of lost my train of thought with that one, but so, I mean, a lot of these other things, though, these creative things, maybe they'll just take a little longer, maybe they will become smaller goals, and to me, all that stuff serves as kind of your portfolio, you know. It gets people to find out about you, and you know, then you get requests to do, you know, maybe a logo design or something, or, you know, something, different design things, or music things. I've not, I don't know if I've ever been requested to do anything musically for money, really. But I would like to. And, you know, that brings me to kind of what happened with this new distraction. The chiptunes thing is... Chiptunes is really cool. And I've been studying it lately because I, you know, got into this little project, side project. And I guess along with the chiptunes music thing, you know, that's like a threefold distraction. Because... the whole point of this was Ryan was talking about his new game that he's working on. I'm like, oh, what are you using to make a game? Like, how do you know how to make a game? And he told me, like, there's this program or whatever, and it's free, and it's pretty good to make kind of like a simple game. And I'm like, oh, man, I've had ideas to make a game for so long. And, you know, I guess Rob Stenzinger of leanintoart.com is probably the one who's really kind of made me think more and more about doing games. And then some other things, some podcasts, you know, they're talking about how, you know, some of these games, you know, can make a lot of money and stuff. And, you know, I'm not even doing it just for the money, but for me, I think it would be cool to make, like, a glyph game or something, or something with my properties or some characters, where, you know, at different stages, you know, you beat a boss or whatever, however it works, and every time you reach whatever level, you can download a free song or something, and then, you know, once you're done with the game, you have got a whole album plus some bonus tracks or something like that. So, and you probably, the way I do it is you can download them all for free still, without even playing the game, but you'll get some bonus tracks by doing the game, and it's just a more fun way to acquire the songs, you know, and it'll just be a game anyways. I mean, people play games without any rewards, so they in fact pay extra money just to get, you know, build up, put a new couch in their little house, Sims house or whatever, or, you know, whatever. So people spend a lot of money on games. But whatever, I mean, that's not even, like I said, that part isn't what intrigues me about games. I mean, I'm a fan of games, and the kind of games I'm a fan of is the old school ones, you know, and, you know, newer ones too I like a lot, but if I were going to make a game, yeah, like a side-scroller would be super awesome, or even just any of these simple games, or even the Facebook games are cool. I can't imagine that I'd ever have the budget unless some crazy stuff happened to make, like, some kind of crazy 3D game, you know, that's intensely in-depth or whatever. But, hey, that would be cool, too. You know, whatever comes, I'm open to all kinds of things. But, anyways, so the video game thing and then the 8-bit art, the pixel art, that's a whole nother thing. And everything has, like, you know, a set of rules that is respected by those traditionalists or whatever you call them, purists, pixel art purists, and you know, chiptune purists. I mean, the pure way to do chiptunes is like, you know, manipulating a computer chip within like a video game console or something like that, or, you know, the something that basically you have to rewire things and find. You can use the controller, I think, to press down sounds. There's all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, some people were talking about there's the Game Boy thing you can use to make chiptunes, and there's a lot of methods, but trying to create the sounds out of actual, like, computer chip, sound chips or something, is how it started, I guess. So that's, like, the purest way or whatever, and you know, I'm, as much as I can respect that and think it's cool and would love to have the time to go the purist route, I just don't, you know, not with all this stuff. I'm doing way too much stuff to try to go the purist route. The purist route is always the hardest route, pretty much, and usually. I mean, it's the same thing with hip-hop and stuff, too. You know, some people say you shouldn't scratch on CDs because there's, like, you know, CD scratch things. And then there's also now it's Serato where you can just take digital songs and scratch those virtually with, like, this kind of fake keyboard thing. And, you know, a lot of people are using that nowadays. But, you know, the purist will say you have to dig into vinyl and scratch stuff from there, you know. And I do go partially the purist route. I mean, for me, a lot of my scratches have been from vinyl. But I do have a CD thing that scratches, so, you know, if I don't have the vinyl, I'll just use that. So there's that. And also, like, sampling, like, you're not supposed to sample certain stuff and all kinds of, you know, you should sample from vinyl. You should get all your drums and your breaks sampled from vinyl, not like from all these little drum kits you can download and la 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 la. Like, all, you know, there's all these rules that people try to put on you, and they try to say this is the pure way to do it. And, you know, I respect them, but I'm gonna use what I have. You know, I think that's the pure route. Use the resources you have and do the best you can with what you have. My resources are already limited. If I'm going to put even further restrictions on it, I mean, I'm never going to get anything done, you know? And I think that's why that's part of the reason people get, you know, roadblocked or whatever on some of these things. So, it is what it is. Do the best I can. But yeah, so there's the pixel art, the chiptunes, which is like the 8-bit sound, old Nintendo music type of stuff. And there's the video games. That's like a threefold, but it's actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it's like fourfold distraction, because the thing is with chiptunes is those chiptunes aren't, they sound like they're deceiving because they sound like, oh, they're like simple little cheesy sounds. But they're not simple. You know, arranging and composing a chiptune can be just as tough, maybe, as composing music. Like, if you're doing it from original, it might be just as tough as arranging just any other kind of song, even maybe some orchestrated stuff. Excuse me. Because they simulate, a lot of these things, they simulate orchestrated music and stuff. And, you know, if you listen to the songs, they're not simple. A lot of them are complicated. There's, like, crazy arpeggios and, you know, just tons of notes. And not only that, they're taking a simple, like, square oscillated sound, and they're trying to make that, and it's a synthesized sound, they're trying to figure out a way to make that sound like a guitar, or make that sound like a flute, or make that sound like, you know, a violin, or whatever. So, I mean, obviously, it's still always going to sound like some weird 8-bit robot thing, but they do a really good job at simulating some of these sounds, and it's really cool. But that's a whole other, you know, set of things to learn. And so, but that's not even what I'm talking about. The fourth fold distraction with this thing is I don't know how to play instruments yet. I mean, I understand a little bit about notes and stuff. Actually, I understand a whole lot more, which I'll get to in a minute, but you know, for the most part, you know, until now, my method of creating music is either sample based. And you could do a lot of things to still be very creative and very, you know, unique. And, you know, people, you know, samples get a bad rap. But if you're creative with them, you know, you are creating original music. But I don't want to get into that right now. But, a lot of the stuff I've done is sample based. Or if I am playing notes on like a keyboard or a guitar or something, you know, I can figure out a few chords and put them together. But then, you know, when it comes to putting harmonies in there and putting more than just one, like, little riff, you know, it starts to get difficult. Even just putting bass into a song is difficult because I don't know, or until now, I haven't really known how music works, you know, how the chords work, how things fit together. You know, there's a way that it fits together, and pretty much I've been trying to do it all by ear all this time. And, you know, I get pretty good results with that. I've been able to put together some songs with just purely, you know, instruments and stuff like that. And they sound pretty cool. But I can see the limitations are, like, very apparent, you know. I'm really, like, using every little bit of knowledge I know. And it comes out, you know, as kind of a simple track. For the most part. But, you know, so chiptunes isn't like that. You have to know music to do chiptunes. Like, I mean, this last, first one I did, it took a lot for me to figure out how to do what I wanted to do. And that's how I realized that if I really want to get a little more into chiptunes and stuff, I need to go back to this piano stuff that I was trying to learn before, like a while, long time ago. And luckily, I still have all my books and stuff that I was using, like song books, and then just like, there's this one, there's a bunch of instructional stuff that I have, but there's one specific instructional book I'm learning how to play piano. And when I'm saying I'm learning how to play piano, it's not just for the sake of playing piano. I'm not even necessarily learning how to play it exactly at the moment. I mean, I'll get to it, but I just want to learn how music works. And so I can put the information in, you know, I can digitally kind of do it or go key by key or whatever, very simply do it. But at least if I know how music works, I can figure out how to arrange it. You know, I don't have to necessarily play the instrument. But I do want to learn how to play the instrument as well. But so, yeah, so I got this piano book and I read through it, you know, recently, and wow, like, music is amazing. Like, I know that a lot of people, like, all the stuff I read in this book, I know that a lot of people who make music, like playing instruments and stuff, they probably don't even know a lot of this, some of this stuff. I shouldn't say a lot, but some of this stuff they probably don't even know, because the way notes work together is crazy. Like, it can get, it's simple, but at the same time, it can get super complicated. Especially if you're reading, you know, you're reading music and stuff, like, the rules change as you go, almost. Like, the, I mean, the rules are the same, but, like, you know, chords and stuff, like, what you even call them, like, you could play the same thing, but it means, but it's, it would be written down in the music page. It would be written down differently if it's related to a different set of parameters. Like, there's different keys you can play in, and, like, chords are built off of scales and stuff, and there's different rules for different kind of chords and how you construct them. And then, like, if you're playing a certain, I don't know, if you're playing, you know, I'm learning it still, but depending on what chord you're playing in and what scale you're playing in will change kind of how, you know, what each chord means or each note means. Even like sharps and flats, like the same key could be a sharp or a flat, you know? And it could be a totally different thing. It's all related, like everything depends on what the context is, you know what I mean? And it's crazy, and it's amazing, it's like beautiful, you know, it's really cool. As cheesy as that might sound, it is though. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, really. So yeah, I've learned a lot of head knowledge, and I'm probably going to read through the book again, and it's going to become like kind of like my musical Bible, that one book. It really puts it out simply, but all the information is there. Like, there's a, it just teaches a little bit of a different way. Like, you get the theory super quickly and super concisely of music, and I'm sure there's a lot more to it even past that, but, you know, this book could have me going for the rest of my life. you know, because music is definitely something that takes years and years and years to get any mastery of. And I think just like art, you never fully are 100%, you know, the master of it. You know, you can always learn new things. So I'm amazed by that, and I'm intrigued, and learning about that, I've kind of found a new passion too. Like, even though music was already a passion and I've already wanted to learn how to play piano and guitar and stuff, after learning all this, it's just amazing to me, and it's like a whole new, like, dimension of stuff that I want to be involved in, you know. And it's kind of like when you first realize you wanted to do comic books, you know, you're like, that's what I want to do for a living. And a lot of us come to find out that it's almost impossible to just simply do that for a living, unfortunately. But some people are doing it. But yeah, but it's like that kind of a passion. Like, I'm like absolutely blown away. I still love the simple stuff, still love stuff with just samples, and I will always do that. But this chiptunes things has given me an opportunity to get back into the you know, traditional form of music making, composing with notes and chords and scales and all that stuff, rhythm, you know. And because I'm such a jack of so many trades, you know, I'll never even come close to mastering it the way I probably will want to, but that's okay. You know, I'm glad I have time to play with it now, and you know, I'll keep producing stuff. I'm just gonna keep producing stuff and keep learning, you know. So yeah, I'm thinking about that now, and maybe that's a goal that I didn't intend. Maybe I'll learn how to play the piano this year, you know. Obviously I'll be learning for the rest of my life or whatever, but maybe I'll finally learn an instrument, you know. And that wasn't even close to my on the radar for what I wanted to do in the next few years. But hey, that's a huge thing, because, you know, but with all the things I want to make, understanding that will give me so much more leverage and ability to go so much more further, you know. So, you know, there's that. So I'm glad that I've found some of these distractions, you know. And, you know, so I'm adapting. That's the word I was trying to find. I'm adapting, you know. I'm going to keep adapting. And like I said, my goals weren't really businessy, you know. So I'm going to be thinking a lot more about business goals. I mean, I've been even thinking a lot about maybe trying to find a job in graphic design. Honestly, I'd almost rather do graphic design than illustration, because to me, not only is illustration a tough field to get into, but it's a tougher job, you know. And I'm not saying, like, I'm, you know, being a wimp and I don't want to do the tough job or whatever. But, you know, I think graphic design, I mean, and maybe I'm wrong, you know, but I don't think so. Because to me, design is a part of illustration, you know what I mean? But illustration, you know, that can, you have to know design to know illustration. You don't necessarily have to know illustration to know design, you know what I mean? Even though I do know both, you know, to the level that I do understand it, and I've learned, and, you know, I've taken classes and that kind of stuff, but I could definitely use a lot more classes and a lot more teaching on all that stuff. So I don't know, I'm really thinking about trying to find maybe some work in graphic design, even a traditional job, at least to start off. And then hopefully I can start building up freelance gigs and stuff, and maybe break off on my own at some point. I'm also open to doing stuff freelance now as well. But you know, there's that. And then I was also, another idea I was thinking of was, and I don't know if there's a market for it. That's the problem, you know. You gotta find a financial plan for all this that will work. You know, you gotta find a market and try to fulfill needs in that market, you know. So, you know, I'm thinking about maybe like intros and outros type of things. And the only reason I shy away from that is, one, because I'm still new to the whole music, you know, the orchestrating, or I don't know what you call it, like, I guess there's no word for it. You know, I distinguish it between sampling, but, you know, sampling is new, so really that's where the distinguishing thing is, so. But, you know, basically doing the notes and the chords and music and arranging it and stuff, I'm new to figuring that out, so I'm a little hesitant to maybe do intros and outros, but I could figure something out that's simple. And I'm sure a lot of the people who would hire someone to do that know nothing about art or music anyway, so like they'll just be like, if you can come up with something that sounds kind of cool, you know, they'll be happy. So that's really not too big of a hurdle. And it all goes upon your portfolio or your show reel or whatever, you know, it is that you show them. You know, if they see stuff they like, they'll hire you type of thing. But, you know, and then the other aspect is, I know for a fact that people are going to want, you know, 3D animation stuff, you know, which is something I haven't dabbled in yet. I mean, I played around with Blender for like a second, but, you know, I have the program, but, you know, I'm far from knowing how to use it. And if I could get to the point where I could just figure out some simple things to make intros, like, I just want to figure out modeling words and, like, you know, finding ways to, knowing how to put words into different motions and, you know what I mean? Like, you see these kind of intros in movies and all kinds of different things, even YouTube videos, like, if I could figure out how to do that, and I'm sure it's not too hard, and, you know, the person who I'd probably go to talk to about this would definitely be Paul Kijiji of processdiary.com, because that's what he does for a living. But, you know, he's a busy guy, and I'm sure he's not really, you know, doesn't have the time to train somebody. He has enough work with his kid and his wife and doing his own freelance stuff, and also obviously the big project he's been working on, which is Pandia, which is an awesome book, and I can't wait for more. So I wouldn't really want to bother him too much, but I'm sure he'd throw a few tips my way here and there. But I could figure it out, you know. I can learn, I can go check out some videos and maybe do some of these training courses that they have, and then comes the money thing, you know, you need money for that, so, you know, all this stuff. But, yeah, I'm thinking about possibly doing that, and then also people might want just regular 2D animation, which I'm a little more privy to, but even that I'm still super green in, you know, so, we'll see. So that was an idea, and I guess the best way to start messing with that is to make a few for my own, like, for myself. And then maybe for some of my buddies and stuff. And then, you know, that'll kind of build up a little reel or whatever. What do they call it? A show reel or something? Or a, I don't know. There's probably a better word for it. And then, you know, I can maybe start talking to possible clients. And, or maybe I should just stick to what I started and try to do commissions and illustration work. Maybe I should try to do all of them. I don't know. Stuff to think about. So, I need to find something. The reason why I like the intro idea is because it's more of a niche-y thing, you know. It's a little more niche-y, you know. It's not just simply illustration, you know. And I think it's important to find these niches and stuff, and apply yourself to them. That's where I think the money can be, more often than just saying I'm just an illustrator in general, you know. And even illustrators, you know, the ones who are successful focus on a specific thing. So focus is not my strong point, though. That's the only problem. So we'll see. But that's, you know, kind of, it's like a journal podcast. And we're running up to about 45 minutes here. And for a journal podcast, that's kind of long. So I'll probably, you know, end it out here. And I've been talking kind of slow instead of fast today. So you guys are probably sick of hearing me. Maybe not. But anyways, man, you guys are awesome. So happy with how, and I've expressed it on the forum, the group too, but I'm just really happy how the Comic Project's Facebook group has progressed, and it's taken on a life of its own, and really cool. And the credit does not go to me, it goes to all the people involved, you know. And Ryan's a big part of that as well. Bigger part than I am, because I feel bad, because I just kind of haven't been too involved because I've been distracted with a bunch of other stuff. Even though I do go in there all the time still, but, you know, I'd like to leave more in-depth comments and stuff. And also the Sketch Daily thing still keeps going, you know, so that's awesome. I've been thinking about maybe having a, you know, somebody help me administrate that. Not that it's a lot of work or anything, but it's nice to have the team to, you know, of just me and Ryan to bounce our ideas off of with Sketch Daily. So I could always ask Ryan again, or maybe I'll pick a different person, who knows. But I don't know. If any of you guys are listening and any of you guys are interested in being, and you're already in, you know, kind of involved in the Sketch Daily group, hit me up. Also, the new group I made, Pixel Junkies, you know. I'm down to have a helper with anything like that. So if any of you are interested in becoming an administrator, I'll probably only keep one for now. I mean, it's not like a big organized thing. It doesn't take a lot of work or anything. But it's got ideas off of and stuff. And so, yeah. Hit me up if you're interested. Plex@plexhop.com is my email. You know, obviously the website is plexhop.com. And, yeah, thanks for listening, guys. You're so awesome, guys and girls. Love you guys. And, yeah, that's about it. I'll talk to you next time. I think these podcasts might get back on the, agenda for doing them regularly again. Because it's something that's important that I really like doing, and I find a lot of feedback with it, and more than I do from other things. And it just feels good to be able to, you know, kind of figure this stuff out, kind of out in the open, you know. When you do stuff by yourself and you're not really broadcasting in any way, you kind of start to feel like you're in that vacuum, and this is one of those things that helps me not feel that way, you know, so. So, yeah. Other than that, you guys are awesome again, and I will talk to you next time on the Escape Artist Podcast. Thank you. Bye.